Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Today is November 3rd, the year 2023. We are tuned into the first portion, the prelude of our general service, which is to play in the chapter 18 of the Quran, Tabla al-Kaf, in Arabic and English, the case. It is following in the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he asked us to read chapter 18 on Fridays. So for the first 25 minutes, we will play chapter 18 of the Quran, and then about 2 o'clock, we'll begin the Jummah prayer. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja.
Praise be to Allah, who hath revealed the scripture unto his slave and hath not placed therein any crookedness.
قَيِّمًا لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِّن لَّدُنْهُ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا.
But hath made it straight to give warning of stern punishment from him, and to bring unto the believers who do good works the news that theirs will be a fair reward.
مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا.
Wherein they will abide forever.
وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا.
And to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son.
مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا.
A thing whereof they had no knowledge, nor had their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct. And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا.
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight. Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years. And afterward we raised them up, that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried. We narrate unto thee their story with truth. Lo, they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance.
وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا.
And we made firm their hearts when they stood forth and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We cry unto no God beside Him, for then should we utter an enormity. These are people have chosen other gods beside him, though they bring no clear warrant vouchsafed to them. And who doth greater wrong than he who inventeth a lie concerning Allah?
وَإِذْ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا.
And when ye withdraw from them and that which they worship except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will spread for you of His mercy and will prepare for you a pillow in your plight.
وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا.
And thou mightest have seen the sun when it rose move away from their cave to the right, and when it set, go past them on the left, and they were in the cleft thereof. That was one of the portents of Allah. He whom Allah guideth, he indeed is led aright, and he whom he sendeth astray, for him thou wilt not find a guiding friend.
وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوصيد لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا.
And thou wouldst have deemed them waking though they were asleep, and we caused them to turn over to the right and the left, and their dog stretching out his paws on the threshold. If thou hadst observed them closely, thou hadst assuredly turned away from them in flight, and hadst been filled with awe of them.
وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فابعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا.
And in like manner we awakened them that they might question one another. A speaker from among them said, How long have ye tarried? They said, We have tarried a day or some part of a day. Others said, Your Lord best knoweth what ye have tarried. Now send one of you with this your silver coin unto the city, and let him see what food is purest there, and bring you a supply thereof. Let him be courteous, and let no man know of you.
إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا.
For they, if they should come to know of you, will stone you or turn you back to their religion, then ye will never prosper.
وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا.
And in like manner we disclosed them to the people of the city that they might know that the promise of Allah is true and that as for the hour there's no doubt concerning it. When the people of the city disputed of their case among themselves, they said, Build over them a building, their Lord knoweth best concerning them. those who won their point said, "We verily shall build a place of worship over them."
سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا.
Some will say they were three, their dog the fourth, and some say five, their dog the sixth, guessing at random, and some say seven and their dog the eighth. Say, O Muhammad, my Lord is best aware of their number. None knoweth them save a few. So contend not concerning them except with an outward contending, and ask not any of them to pronounce concerning them.
ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا.
And say not of anything, "Lo, I shall do that tomorrow," except if Allah will. And remember thy Lord when thou forgettest, and say, "It may be that my Lord guideth me unto a nearer way of truth than this." And it is said, they tarried in their cave 300 years and add 9.
قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا.
Say, Allah is best aware how long they tarried. His is the invisible of the heavens and the earth. How clear of sight is He, and keen of hearing. They have no protecting friend beside Him, and He maketh none to share in His government.
وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا.
And recite that which hath been revealed unto thee of the scripture of thy Lord. There is none who can change His words, and thou wilt find no refuge beside Him.
واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا.
Restrain thyself along with those who cry unto their Lord at morn and evening, seeking His countenance. And let not thine eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, who followeth his own lust, and whose case hath been abandoned.
وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا.
Say, "It is the truth from the Lord of you all. Then whosoever will, let him believe, and whosoever will, let him disbelieve. Lo, we have prepared for disbelievers fire. Its tent encloseth them. If they ask for showers, they'll be showered with water like the molten lead, which burneth the faces. Calamitous the drink, and ill the resting place."
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا.
Lo, as for those who believe and do good works, lo, we suffer not the reward of one whose work is goodly to be lost.
أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
As for such, theirs will be gardens of Eden, wherein rivers flow beneath them. Therein they will be given armlets of gold, and will wear green robes of finest silk, and gold embroidery, reclining upon thrones therein. Blessed the reward, and fair the resting place.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا.
Coin for them a similitude, two men, unto one of whom we had assigned two gardens of grape, and we had surrounded both with date palms, and had put between them tillage.
كِلْتَا الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا.
Each of the gardens gave its fruit and withheld naught thereof, and we caused a river to gush forth therein.
وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا.
And he had fruit, and he said unto his comrade, when he spake with him, I am more than thee in wealth and stronger in respect of men.
ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لنفسه قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا.
And he went into his garden while he thus wronged himself. He said, I think not that all this will ever perish.
وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا.
I think not that the hour will ever come, and if indeed I am brought back unto my Lord, I surely shall find better than this as a resort.
قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا.
And his comrade, when he thus spake with him, exclaimed, Disbelievest thou in him who created thee of dust, then of a drop of seed, and then fashioned thee a man?
لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا.
But he is Allah, my Lord, and I ascribe unto my Lord no partner.
ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا.
If only when thou enteredst thy garden thou hadst said, That which Allah willeth will come to pass. There is no strength save in Allah, though thou seest me as less than thee in wealth and children.
فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا.
Yet it may be that my Lord will give me better than thy garden, and will send on it a bolt from heaven, and some morning it will be a smooth hillside. Or some morning the water thereof will be lost in the earth, so that thou canst not make search for it.
وأحيط بثمره فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا.
And his fruit was beset with destruction. Then began he to wring his hands for all that he had spent upon it, when now it was all ruined on its trellises, and to say, Would that I had ascribed no partner to my Lord.
ولم تكن له فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان منتصرا.
And he had no troop of men to help him as against Allah, nor could he save himself.
هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا.
In this case is protection only from Allah the true. He is best for reward and best for consequence.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا.
And coin for them the similitude of the life of the world as water which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingleth with it, and then becometh dry twigs that the winds scatter. Allah is able to do all things.
المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
Wealth and children are an ornament of life of the world, but the good deeds which endure are better in thy Lord's sight for reward and better in respect of hope.
وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا.
And bethink you of the day when we remove the hills and ye see the earth emerging and we gather them together so as to leave not one of them behind.
وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا.
And they are set before thy Lord in ranks, and it is said unto them, Now verily have ye come unto us as we created you at the first, but ye thought that we had set no tryst for you.
وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا.
And the book is placed, and thou seest the guilty fearful of that which is therein, and they say, What kind of a book is this that leaveth not a small thing, nor a great thing, but hath counted it? And they find all that they did confronting them, and thy Lord wrongeth no one.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أفتتخذونه وذريته أولياء من دوني وهم لكم عدو بئس للظالمين بدلا.
And remember when we said unto the angels, Fall prostrate before Adam, and they fell prostrate, all save Iblis. He was of the jinn, so he rebelled against his Lord's command. Will ye choose him and his seed for your protecting friends instead of me, when they are an enemy unto you? Calamitous is the exchange for evildoers.
ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا.
I made them not to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor their own creation, nor choose I misleaders for my helpers.
وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا.
And be mindful of the day when he will say, Call those partners of mine whom ye pretended. Then they will cry unto them, but they will not hear their prayer, and we shall set a gulf of doom between them. And the guilty behold the fire, and know that they are about to fall therein, and they find no way of escape thence.
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا.
And verily we have displayed for mankind in this Quran all manner of similitudes, but man is more than anything contentious.
وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا.
And naught hindereth mankind from believing when the guidance cometh unto them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, unless it be that they wish that the judgment of the men of old should come upon them, or that they should be confronted with the doom.
وما نرسل المرسلين إلا مبشرين ومنذرين ويجادل الذين كفروا بالباطل ليدحضوا به الحق واتخذوا آياتي وما أنذروا هزوا.
We send not the messengers save as bearers of good news and warners. Those who disbelieve contend with falsehood in order to refute the truth thereby, and they take our revelations and that wherewith they are threatened as a jest.
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا وَإِنْ تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا.
And who doth greater wrong than he who hath been reminded of the revelations of his Lord, yet turneth away from them and forgetteth what his hands send forward to the judgment? Lo, on their hearts we have placed covering so that they understand not, and in their ears a deafness. And though thou call them to the guidance, in that case they can never be led aright.
وربك الغفور ذو الرحمة لو يؤاخذهم بما كسبوا لعجل لهم العذاب بل لهم موعد لن يجدوا من دونه موئلا.
Thy Lord is the forgiver, full of mercy. If he took them to task now for what they earn, he would hasten on the doom for them. But theirs is an appointed term from which they will find no escape.
وتلك القرى أهلكناهم لما ظلموا وجعلنا لمهلكهم موعدا.
And all those townships, we destroyed them when they did wrong, and we appointed a fixed time for their destruction.
وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا.
And when Moses said unto his servant, I will not give up until I reach the point where the two rivers meet, though I march on for ages.
فلما بلغا مجمع بينهما نسيا حوتهما فاتخذ سبيله في البحر سربا.
And when they reached the point where the two met, they forgot their fish, and it took its way into the waters, being free.
فلما جاوزا قال لفتاه آتنا غداءنا لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا.
And when they had gone further, he said unto his servant, Bring us our breakfast. Verily, we have found fatigue in this our journey.
قال أرأيت إذ أوينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا.
He said, Didst thou see when we took refuge on the rock and I forgot the fish? And none but Satan caused me to forget to mention it. It took its way into the waters by a marvel.
قال ذلك ما كنا نبغ فارتدا على آثارهما قصصا.
He said, This is that which we have been seeking. So they retraced their steps again.
فوجدا عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عند.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح.
جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا.
So they twain journeyed on till when they came unto the folk of a certain township. They asked its folk for food, but they refused to make them guests. And they found therein a wall upon the point of falling into ruin, and he repaired it. Moses said, If thou hadst wished, thou couldst have taken payment for it.
سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا.
He said, This is the parting between thee and me. I will announce unto thee the interpretation of that thou couldst not bear with patience.
أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا.
As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working on the river, and I wished to mar it, for there was a king behind them who was taking every ship by force.
وأما الغلام فكان أبواه مؤمنين فخشينا أن يرهقهما طغيانا وكفرا.
And as for the lad, his parents were believers, and we feared lest he should oppress them by rebellion and disbelief.
فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما.
And we intended that their Lord should change him for them for one better in purity and nearer to mercy.
وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يَبْلُغَا أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا.
And as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the city, and there was beneath it a treasure belonging to them, and their father had been righteous, and thy Lord intended that they should come to their full strength and should bring forth their treasure as a mercy from their Lord. And I did it not upon my own command. Such is the interpretation of that wherewith thou couldst not bear. They will ask thee of Dhulqarnain. Say, I shall recite unto you a remembrance of him.
إِنَّا مَكَّنَّا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا.
Lo, we made him strong in the land and gave him unto everything a road.
فَأَتْبَعَ أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge, protection with Allah and a shaitan, away from shaitan, your rajim, the rejected enemy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu. I bear witness there's no God but Allah, and there's none worthy of worship besides Him. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and we bear witness Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer and peace be upon Him. To the beloved Muslims, guests, assalamu alaikum. God's peace be with you. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And His mercy and blessings. Alhamdulillah, we're here again. Allah bless us to come together as believers. Besides my wife, some of you all may not see for 7 more days. Okay. But Allah gave us the time to come together for the sole purpose of serving Him and Him only. And for that, we're thankful, we're grateful. There are many parts of the world where we're Muslims, like the Uyghur in China. And we know what's going on over in Gaza, right? We know there's Muslims that can't do what we're doing right now. You know, they want to do it. So we have to be mindful of them. Really, any people of faith, if you see what the Quran says, any people of faith who deny their worship, the Quran is sensitive to that. Because Allah says in the Quran, it says, churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, the houses of worship in which Allah's name is praised. So the Quran gives a direct ayat verse about how those houses are to be protected. So we follow our book. And again, we're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glory be to Him most high for this day, Ajumma. Speak a little bit about Muhammad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah tells us in the Quran, Surah 33, verse 21, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasanatun. Verily, you have in the messenger of Allah, in Rasulullah, it was called a uswatun hasanatun. Uswa. It's from the word siwa. Siwa means to be balanced. Right? But the saying hasanatun is a very beautiful, balanced picture of Muhammad that is given here. And it's for us, it's a beautiful pattern of conduct for us to follow. It says, and for any whose hope is in Allah, and let me can Yujurulaha wa ayama al-akira. Any who believe in Allah and the last day. So Allah is telling us here in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that means the prayer and peace be upon him, giving us a beautiful example to follow. Excellent model of human conduct. So, dear Muslims, we want to follow our book. And we want to be conscious of how we are following our book. I hope that makes sense. Muhammad the Prophet, peace upon him, he was more than just a two-legged human being. Muhammad the Prophet, peace upon him, he's more than just flesh and blood. If that's all we see of Muhammad the Prophet, then we have really missed Muhammad the Prophet. If all you see is a two-legged man, flesh and blood man, you have missed Rasulullah. You missed him. Even our book, the Quran, this, what I'm holding in my hand, someone say, Mikhail's holding the Quran. No, I'm not holding the Quran. I'm holding paper, glue, and ink on the pages. He said, well, how can you say that? It says it right on the cover. It says, holy Quran. Yeah, but you read it, it says it is a copy of the holy Quran. Yes. The printing press was invented 1400s. When Rasulullah received this revelation on his heart, not on paper, right? There was no printing press. So sometimes we look at the book, and sure enough, yes, I wash my hands before reading the book because I know the content. And it prepares me mentally and spiritually so that we see the content. But the paper and the ink on the paper and the glue holding the bind together and the hard copy, that's not the Quran. It's a copy of the Quran. So Muhammad, the prophet, he's more than just a two-legged man, flesh and blood man. And our book is more than just ink on paper. If we only see it in that way of the physical man or the physical book, we may be missing the real picture of Muhammad. And we may be missing the real Quran. Even you and I, we are more than just flesh and blood, right? I mean, this is the body that carries me. It carries my soul. It carries your soul. So if we're only looking at the shell or the outer casing of any person or any idea or any concept, then we may be missing the soul and the essence and the purpose of Muhammad. I hope this makes sense. That is the real Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we say in our prayers, right at the end of our, and we're sitting in Jalsa, what do we say? Salat to Ibrahim. And we don't think of Muhammad, the flesh and blood man. We do not. We definitely say, well, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad kamar. Kamar, right? So it's not past tense. It's present tense. And not just present tense, Muhammad, but Muhammad today, going forward. Now, the flesh and blood Muhammad, Allah bless him. We love him. If he brings the land in Medina, right outside the mosque. You go to Medina, you can go to see. You can see it. We're not lifting that up. We're lifting up Muhammad, the mission. Muhammad, the purpose. As Aisha said, I'll be pleased for her. He said, describe for us Muhammad. And he was already gone, right? And the man said, tell us about Muhammad. She said, he is. You know what is means? It means right now. She didn't say he was. She said, he is the Quran walking. Does that make sense? So to see Muhammad properly, you have to see him in his purpose, in his mission. Alhamdulillah. Allah said, this is the book, any of this guiding sure. And when that verse came, there was no printing press made. So what is the book then? It says book. It says Al-Kitab. That's saying not any book. It's saying the book, Al-Kitab. This is the book. And it says it's for the Muttaqin, those who have that God consciousness. You got a lot of people teaching Islam on college campuses. And they not be more Muslim than the man in the moon. And they get paid big money for teaching about Islam and the Prophet. But are they Muttaqin? Do they have it in their heart? So for the book to be the book, it has to be the book to those who are Muttaqin, who has that God conscious, that taqwa. Paul says he's in them, working in them, alive in them, and pushing them in their life. So, dear Muslims, if we only see Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a flesh and blood man, or just as a male, then we may unwittingly became of the Dalin. And when you say Dalin, you're supposed to hold the first part long, right? Because the word is going astray.
You're saying it's going astray, but your tongue is long. They run astray. Muslims, if we're not careful, we will become zalim and still be saying five prayers a day, fasting in Ramadan, and going to Hajj, and still be zalim because we do not see Muhammad properly. The Christians are the zalim, meaning what? They didn't mean to go wrong, but they strayed. Zalim. So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he did not allow anyone to draw his picture for that very same reason. He said, oh, my people, do not make the same mistake with me as the Christians made with Christ Jesus. And what was the mistake they made with Christ Jesus? They put images up and they went astray because they only could see in their understanding and their development a flesh and blood man of a certain nationality, right? Okay? So we are warned plainly by Muhammad, don't draw my pictures because I don't want you to go Bali. So again, as the Quran is not paper, glue, and ink, with a table of contents in the front and the index in the back and sentence at the bottom, no. The Quran is what it means. From the word qara'a, what's that mean? Reading. The Quran is a reading. It means that which is to be read. And in English, that's a play on the word be read like bread, bread of life, right? The staff of life. There's a connection there. But the question is, what are we to read? If there was no printing press back then, if there were the words given to the believers, and there are Muslims then and now who know the whole Quran by heart, right? So what is to be read? Our original human nature. Our deen al-fitra. Allah tells us in Surah 30, Ayah 30. He said, this is the religion, your original human nature. And the Quran is revelation that is to expound upon and to bring out from our original human nature that destiny that Allah has ordained for us as human beings. But if we hung upon seeing ink on papers or just seeing Muhammad as just a flesh and blood man, we may miss the whole picture. So just as the real you is not you and your flesh, the real me is not my flesh. The abstract is always more powerful than the concrete idea. Abstract is creative. Concrete is fixed. Like is hard concrete outside the bricks, well, we can have in our heads concrete ideas fixed, locked, can't move. The abstract, the creative part of you is all the time evolving and growing, new ideas. So the real you and the real me is our soul. That's the real you. That's what they call in science. We got this word called phenotype in science. We got two words, phenotype and genotype, right? And genotype is saying whether it's your genetic reading inside that maybe didn't manifest as a dominant trait. The dominant traits that came out was your phenotype. You're so tall, certain kind of hair, certain kind of skin color, eye color, right? That's their phenotype. And we get hung up on the phenotype and miss the inside, which is really saying our soul, the human soul. So most Muslims properly or do not fully see the prophets, probably any of them, because they're looking at their phenotype. Oh, their characteristics. What is their gender? What is their nationality? That's a big problem in the world that people, Islam came to correct that problem. What problem am I saying? Nationalities, race, gender, yes, gender. It came to remove the problems with that, and we get it in the last sermon of Rasulullah. Go read it. Don't just read it. Study it. He dealt with all those issues. The male-female issues,
racial images, and nationalism. Don't you know it's one of the reasons, and this is what Muslims should be saying loud in this time, one of the reasons to why people can close their eye and lie to themselves about the Palestinians being bombed, because there is a false concept out there that somebody is better than somebody else based upon phenotypes. That's the fact. They say they've got some kind of special nationalistic God's chosen people. My goodness, if you're born, you God's chosen people. I didn't choose to be here, God did. I'm God's chosen person. You didn't choose to be here, God chose you to be here. But once you sell a lie in the name of God, that one set of people are better than another, then you are given license to kill the others. Isn't that how our foreparents became enslaved, African Americans? How someone sold a lie in the name of God. Oh, my goodness, they cold-blooded. Cold-blooded. You know, a snake is cold-blooded, right? I think that's why they use a snake in the Garden of Eden in the Bible story. They're cold-blooded. They ain't got no heart. They can lie on people, on God's people, because everybody's God's people, in order to abuse them in the name of God with a small g. So they're like, well, you know, and I've dealt with some friends on Facebook, but I keep feeding them, and they say, oh, okay. He said, oh, no, no. One person said, oh, no, no. The Jews are God's chosen people, and Jesus was a Jew. Yeah, this is this is. I'm like, so I begin feeding them and, the history, and they can't, oh, now I see. I mean, that Jesus was a Jew, but so was the Sadducees and the Pharisees to get into your hell. And they were Jews, too. So don't get hung up on that. But when we cannot see the prophets in their mission, we only see them in their, what's given to us as their tribe or their nation or their gender, we will miss seeing the prophets. And if you miss seeing the prophets, guess what? You miss seeing yourselves. Because all the prophets represent the best in you. And that's why in Islam we can't say, well, I like some prophets, but not the others. You don't get that luxury. We have to accept all of them. Why? Because all of them represent a quality that's in us naturally. We get the best picture of that when Rasulullah ascended to the seventh heavens. He had to stop at each door. He couldn't bypass any of those seven stops. He had to stop and be recognized and greeted by all of them. Two fathers and six brothers. Two on one level. Jesus and John the Baptist was on. I'm not saying Baptist, you know, that's John. We don't know if he was Baptist or not, right? But they were on one level, yeah. But then Muhammad, he recognized all of it because he had to lead all of them in prayer. So he's saying to us, don't get hung up on physical expressions. You may miss something. And even Muhammad taught us. He said that each prophet is a type, T-Y-P-E. Every prophet is a type that typifies a special quality or a trait of human excellence. Every prophet represents a quality of human excellence, evolving from Adam. Moses, like all the prophets, and they are not disconnected, not a single one of them. And then it is culminated in its completion with Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you can only see Muhammad as a flesh and blood man, you're going to miss seeing Muhammad. You're going to miss him. I'm supposed to first part you the note from leaving you by Muhammad on some concepts. I'm going to take my time with this. And I want to make sure I communicate it right. And the Imam Muhammad was saying that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, answered the sign of Jesus Christ. So the Quran says that Christ Jesus ain't another word, sign? The Quran says that. You ever ask yourself the question? Sign of what? If the Quran says that, the thinking Muslim would say, a sign of what? And Imam, he explains it here. He says, And this is Jesus Christ in the world as a sign pointing to God. But he is acting out the word of God, showing how God's word in him and made him become the word of God. It means he was so obedient to the word of God. That's what it means. And that he asked the word of God, and he is asked the word of God in this world. And we then listen, say, why are you talking about Jesus in the word? Don't the Quran say, Mary, we give you dead tidings of the word? Yeah. So I'm not coming from anywhere else except from our sources. And with your mouth speaking here, I'm just saying the same thing. The word of God in the world. But isn't that the same thing that Aisha, may God be pleased with her, the young wife of Muhammad, said of him, of Muhammad? When they asked her about Muhammad, she said, he is the Quran living in the world. Muhammad is the Quran living in the world. How did we miss that? The Quran is the word of God. She said the same thing about Muhammad. Do you want to really know who he is? He is the Quran. Muhammad is the Quran living in the world. He obeyed the Quran so perfectly that he himself was as the Quran. In fact, we got the Quran from him. We didn't get it from Jibril. He got it from Jibril. He, Muhammad, had it. God gave it to him, and he lived by it. Therefore, he was the Quran. Muhammad was the Quran. Muhammad is the Quran. So Muhammad, he was answering the sign of Jesus. We don't separate the prophets or their mission. He then goes on to say, Jesus Christ is the word of God. Then the Quran comes plainly to Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his wife says that to us so we would know that he, Muhammad, was actually the word of God living among us. To explain to us what it means by Jesus Christ being the word of God. That is all it meant, that he, Jesus Christ, was obedient to God's word. But he was also obedient to God's spirit. And so was Muhammad and all the other two messengers of God. Muhammad was obedient to God's will and spirit. And Jesus Christ is called the Spirit of God too, right? That's in the Quran. That's in the Quran, the rule, the Spirit of God. Now, he then goes on to say, now some of the learning in religion, al-Islam, the learning in Muslims, they let the Christian preachers, the learning in Christianity, get them in trouble. And the Muslims don't know how to defend it. The Christians would say, or your own Quran says Jesus Christ is the Spirit of God. They're trying to get some points, right? Imam saying, and they, the learned Muslims, don't know how to come back. He explained. The Quran says he, Allah, gives everything something of his spirit. And he gave the first man his spirit. He breathed into him his spirit. Was Adam God just because God gave him his spirit? No. And then he says, Allah says he has given everything something of his spirit. So does that mean that all the living have something of God's spirit in them? So that means all the living has something of the spirit of God in them. He is in us. He is everywhere. And if you become obedient to him, the spirit and will of God will become so powerful in you that you will be like a prophet or a messenger of God in this life. But you won't be called that. You will be just a human being. For all human beings are the same, not different. That's what the Quran says. So, dear people, dear believers, let us look at Muhammad, the prophet. As he is. This is his day. This is his day. And you say, this is 2023, and he died, 632 AD. You know, the man died. But the Muhammad the mission is more alive today than it was back in his time. You say, well, how can you say that? What did he say in his last sermon? Those of you who are here, who are present, tell those who are not here. Perhaps they would do more with it than you are who are here. We didn't have the science of the glass to look out in space to bear witness to what the Quran said was going on. We didn't have the glass of science in the microscope to bear witness to what the Quran is saying. We got more information now from the beauty of the Quran. It was so packed and potent. And now it has been exploding ever since in this day of Muhammad. And it's still expanding way beyond our capacity to even comprehend it, right? The day of Muhammad is so far ahead of us right now. So we today, in this year, 2023, got more information to support what the Quran says than what the Sahaba said. They didn't have it. They believed it. They didn't have it all. And we got more today in the day of Muhammad. It's the upon him. So that's our prayer, right? Present tense. Not past tense. Allahu Mazali Allah Muhammad and Wali Allah Muhammad. Kamar selected Allah Ibrahima, Wali Allah Ibrahima. And the same for the blessings, right? Present tense, going forward. Because we can lose seeing the beauty and the power and the efficacy, the effectiveness of Muhammad if we only see him as a flesh and blood man somewhere in the past. We have to see him as he is alive today and leading the world. You say, well, how is he leading the world? You know, I mean, on this part here, we say often, if a man won't treat you right, you think he's going to teach you right? He ain't going to teach you right. He's been abusing you. You think they're going to come and tell us that the faith in science, in math, medicine, all theology, psychology, biology, that they owe a serious debt to Muhammad being the Quran? They call it the Renaissance. They call it the Age of Enlightenment. They call it all that. But if you go back and trace it, it all comes back to Muhammad and him receiving the Quran. And they know it. Even in the military, fighting in battles and how the rules of the rules of engagement, all of it go back to Muhammad, and they know it. But since they didn't treat us right, and they're not treating us right, they ain't gonna teach us right. But we don't worry about that, because Allah will bring it to us. Allah has brought it to us. I don't think we got to do it, but we have enough courage to tell it. And a lot of Muslims don't have the courage to tell it. No, they don't. I'm sorry. I heard anybody say it. Don't have the courage to tell it. Well, you got to tell it. That's right. Because it's going to be told one day anyway. They're going to look at you and say, what you do? You do the whole time. And you didn't tell us? Well, I thought y'all didn't want to hear that moves and stuff. You know how we do. We make excuses. I will go tell a man, but you know, they may get mad at me. They may not like me. They may not. Don't worry about all that. Don't worry about that. You don't feel the criticism or the criticizer. In fact, when you get criticized, consider it a trophy. Put it on your shelf. Boom. That's right. You say, because people don't criticize mediocrity. People criticize, oh, man, I wish I had said that. Wish I had known that. They come after something of quality, of substance. So dear Muslims, Allah is Akbar. And not just on my lips. Yeah, we say a lot of act for the people go high. No. So we're not arrogant, we're not proud. We had to be humble. We Muslims. But we have been blessed with truth and information. Can't be ashamed or shy to tell it. You don't feel the criticism or the criticism. Our Lord bless us and guide us. And have mercy upon our souls. Complete all of our shortcomings. Alhamdulillah, bismillah, I'm going to see my son again. Alhamdulillah. Hope he's going to be quite short, inshallah.
just a few notes of things that we already know. With a brief commentary on it. We got work to do. And dear Muslims, particularly the regular members here, you all know that, and this is not bragging, I'm taking my personality out of this. I'm taking my pride out of this next statement. But I'm saying it because it's true. You all have a working email. I repeat, you all have a working email. Right? Too quiet in here for that. Let me keep it just like I know. But now, in having a working email, need what? A working community. Huh? That's right. You know, a lot of people have told me, and I'm not bragging, I'm saying, well, people told me some 20 years ago, man, you slow it down. You're doing too much. So you're burning the candle on both ends. And a lot of some messages to me and all of them, I've been to more of their funerals, okay? So Allah wakes us up each morning for a reason. You got work to do. We got work to do. All of us. Contribution has to be made. And I thank Allah that I don't have a jealous wife. A lot of wives are jealous of their husbands who serve. Full service. A lot of more. That's right. Yeah. You think they're not? Yeah. A lot of them, they get it at the house. Being in their real home. You know, stand down. You know, so I think a lot. I don't have that. Matter of fact, I have a very supportive wife. Okay? Now, in Islam, they say you can have four wives, right? I said, I got four wives. I said, one is telling my wife. The other is community. That's another wife. At the time I was working on the fire department, that's another wife. I'm writing the book, that's another wife. Yeah, I got four wives. Yes. So we have to be workers. You have to be making those different contributions. You don't want to show up in judgment. There was any explanation needed as to why you did not go to work. Yeah. Allah says, find that man who's the use of right belly is the difficulty of the ease. This till I said, when you are free from one work, right? Immediately seek another. Right? Immediately he don't say, well, I'm sit here and wait for another. He says, no, you go seek another. Right? And the word I want to show you the right word. I'm thinking some side, but this may not be it. This talks about the work. Just give me a second here so I can find it. Yes, okay. So either for lockdown, yes, I was right, some side, yes. Lori Nasib. Nasib, I looked it up. I went to the dictionary, I looked into it, and it's saying, it said, when you work so hard until you're tired, right? You work hard until you're tired. And it's while you're tired, it says, that's when you go look for something else. Yes, yes. And the other part in the Quran where it says, let nasiba kai min aduya, right? Don't forget your share, nasiba kai. In the words, it's in the same word, find something. Nasiba kai. Don't forget your share. Your share, the word nasib, and the kai is saying, you're all right. Nasib is from the same word work that means you work until you tired. Yeah. Now we get a point that says, oh, don't forget your share. We think our share is going to come without us sweating or get a nick on our hand from working or get a little sore back from work. You get all that. You get all that. There's a lot of things, you know, laugh. Time said a super cat in that thing. You're still sharing this doing you. So we got work to do, people. We got a lot of work to do. So may Allah bless us to be those who are workers. Because Allah says it will be his the ibadi that will enter into the paradise. Yes. Alhamdulillah. So let us be those who work. Yes. Yes. The workers. Oh Allah, forgive us for our sins, complete all of our shortcomings, grant us good in this life, and the biggest share
and you'll have to come. I mean, you come.
الله أكبر الله أكبر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله نويت صلاة الجمعة ركعة كان لله تعالى أستغفر الله تعالى لما كان تشتت أن شو ركعت to my prayer to Allah the Exalted and facing the top.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ولن لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مال وأهلد يشهد أن الله أكلد كلا لا ينبغانا فختما وما أدرك وما ختم نار الله مفقدة التي تتلف على أفئدة إنها عليهم مفقدة في عمد من المحدة الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمدا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Evidence convincing, like the seeing with the eye. This is the message of the Quran. Should we, knowing this, having this great knowledge, should we preach today like the man preached to the people in primitive times? Should we use the same language? Should we compose our text to satisfy the primitive, the jinn, and the primitive people? When we live in a society that is enlightened, we live in an enlightened society. The society has the primitive nature. We are caught in the grip of primitive nature, but we are an enlightened society. To bring the man out of his primitiveness, shouldn't you appeal to his strength? You should appeal to his enlightenment. But if he has no enlightenment, you have to appeal to his common sense, to his good nature. But when the man has some enlightenment, shouldn't you appeal to his enlightenment? To shame him, to let him know how he now has fallen beneath his own standards, has fallen beneath his own doctrine? Yes. Some people want me to stand up here and just quote hadith. Some people would like for me to read the Quran letter for letter and quote hadith and not bother referring or comparing the Bible with the Quran. They are backwards. They are still in primitive days. They have allowed themselves to lose sight on the key for success. The key for success is to stay in tune with the time, with the nature and the demands of time. You don't come and preach to Christians like you preach to a heathen who's been worshiping sticks and stones. Even if you find a Christian worshiping sticks and stones, you don't address him as though he's a heathen worshiping sticks and stones. If you find a man drunk, do you address him as a drunk? Or do you address him as a human being with intelligence? Say, man, you should be ashamed of yourself, getting in this fix, giving yourself to this weakness. Look what you're doing to your wife. Look how you're shaming yourself before your children. We don't apply the same rules of intelligence in religion that we apply in our daily life. Now, I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, that much of the Quran is yet to be understood by the Arabs. In order to understand the predicate and the subject, they need to study the Jewish people and the Christian people more. They need to study the books that have been revealed to those people so they can see what problems was the Holy Quran addressing, what problems was Allah addressing through his Prophet Muhammad, that were existing in the texts of the Jews and in the texts of the Christians. Don't isolate yourself from this world that God was speaking to. God was addressing this whole world. Atheists, Christians, Jews, and whatever they are, Allah addressed the whole world through Prophet Muhammad. And anyone who thinks he can come from Arabia and close his eyes to the whole world and teach us the Quran is a blind fool. He cannot understand the Quran in any appreciable fashion until he first understands the environment that he's in. And when he leaves Arabia and comes to America, he's in a drastically different environment. So he should stop worrying about the superficial things, the ritual, the ritualistic things. He should give up his fear of losing the things that are close to him in his Arabian environment. And he should become conscious of the things that have been lost from the Jewish environment, from the Christian environment that God intended for them. And he revealed the Quran to guide us back to the way, not only Muslims, Jews, Christians, all of us. we have to accept that Abraham is our father. Adam is our father, also Abraham is our father. Adam represents the common man. The common man is our father. But also Abraham is our father. We have been raised by our common fathers, and we have been raised by God's prophets. The first father is a common man. The second father is a prophet of God. Isn't that right? God says of Abraham, Abikum Ibrahim, your father Abraham. Yes, so that's our father. Why he didn't say your father Moses? Moses was a prophet. Why he didn't say your father Jesus? Jesus was a prophet. Why he said your father Abraham? Because Abraham is a prophet whose role was that of a parent, a father responsible for his children. Abraham was raised up among pagan people who had lots of ignorance, primitive ignorance. And Abraham was guided to search for truth with a rational eye. He observed the stars and the sun and everything, and he saw in the movement of sky a sign that there was a creator, a planner, a designer behind all of this, and that he's not one, two, he's not three, pardon me, two, three, and four, he's not many, he's one. He saw one nature, one creation, and one pattern, one design dominating throughout the whole creation. And he says there's one God, and there is no God associated with that God. Everything else is servant. Everything else is creation and servant, only one God. Abraham said that. Then Abraham was moved to even share his own life, the life of his own Lord, to serve people. Abraham is a symbol of charity. He was ready to kill his own son to please God. But God told him that having the desire was the same as effecting it. That he had not, God didn't want him to kill his son. But he had shown faith because he was willing to kill his son. That even his own child could be sacrificed. He was going to please God. So Abraham was moved by two strong influences. The search for truth, rational motivation. And he was moved by faith. Faith in God. A faith that did not weaken even when his own child's life was at stake. His faith did not weaken. And God told him to kill the ram, the sheep. Kill the lamb. Let that be the sacrifice. And feed it to the people. So he took one of his lambs and he shared it with his neighbors, with his people, with fellow men. Is that right? So he, instead of killing his son, he practiced charity. He practiced charity. So this brought Abraham to be also the symbol of charity, of charitableness in our religion. He's a great symbol of charity. And he's a symbol of rational searching for truth. And the symbol of strong faith. He's all of these. Is that right? Isn't that in every human being that really loves God sincerely, that really want to be right with God? Aren't those the things that's staring in him, moving him on? A desire to be right by others. Is that right? a desire to be truthful, a desire to be rational and not stupid or silly. We're not satisfied with a religion that's mystified and superstitious. We want reality. The human nature presses us to find reality, to find the absolute truth, to find truth unveiled, separated from superstition and mystery. Is that right? We are moved like that. Abraham is a symbol of that, the symbol of that thirst for naked truth. He wouldn't accept any superstition. He wouldn't accept half-truths. He wanted the whole truth, the plain, rational truth. What brought him to seek it and not give up? Faith in God. The strength of Abraham was his faith in God. This shows you, brother and sister, what will make the best scientist. The best force to move the scientist to his highest peak, to his greatest glory, is faith in God. Right faith in God will lead you to truth and you will never give up. You will die on the path of truth. Right faith in Almighty God. Yes, right faith in Almighty God brings out the rational man and brings out the moral man and also brings out the charitable person. Because as long as we are short of truth, believing, having faith in God, as long as we are short of truth, we are not satisfied. If truth say, oh, you still have to go a little bit more. Say, well, what is the next step I have to take, truth? You have to give up your own son's life. That truth seeker will say, son, I'm sorry, but there has to be a sacrifice today. And Abraham, he was weeping, but he said, son, there has to be a sacrifice today. Because I know God is God. And I know that I have been inspired to do this thing. And I'm going to do it because I believe in truth. He didn't say, well, this is my son. I can rationalize here. No, if you believe God speaking, if God says take the son's life, you have to obey if you're a man of truth. Yes, so he says that Abraham, when he was about to take his son's life, God says, no, Abraham. Says, the vision that you had, you've already fulfilled it. Meaning that God only did this to test you, Abraham. God was not really, was not wanting your son's life. God was wanting to bring out before humanity the faith in the human being, the love for God, and the faith that the human being has in his God, that he will even slay his most beloved son if he think God asked that of him. Oh, isn't that wonderful? This is not God's nature, this is human nature. God is showing us the beauty of human nature, that this creature that we laugh at, we call him primitive, we laugh at him, that he carried his children up and sacrificed them to his God. He would take his 12-year-old son and sacrifice it to his false God. We look on it and say, oh, look at primitive man, how stupid it was, how he sacrificed his young son to a God that he believed in. But God wanted to show us that in that human being, in that ignorance that you laugh at, is the power for social salvation. That if a human being can sacrifice the thing most dearest to him, while believing that God wants it of him, that same human being can solve all of our social problems and share the wealth of the nation with other people for God's sake, but he can't do it for his own sake. So we look back in history and we laugh at the stumbling, the crawling and the stumbling of human beings trying to reach their destiny on earth. But God says, no, that's not anything for you to laugh at. That human beings sacrificed their sons. They believed in the God. The stone was not the God. The tree was not the God. The wind was not the God. The lightning was not the God. None of those things were the God. The earth and its fertility was not the God. But that individual believed that it was the God. And he sacrificed his own child's life, his private child's life, to please the God. A sign that if you have faith in God, there is nothing we can't accomplish. In the area of human problems. nothing we can't accomplish in the area of human problems. Look how men lead the whole nation astray, corrupt the whole society for love of self, for love of a woman, for love of a small brat. But look how other human beings sacrifice the most beloved in the family, sacrifice them for the sake of God. But God says he want not burnt sacrifices. He want no human sacrifices. That a sacrifice he wants is a repentant heart. A heart that regrets. A heart that feels remorse. A heart that cries because it sees its sins and confesses. Yes. That's what God wants of us. And look how he showed us that in Abraham. The man was about to kill his own son. God says, no, what you were asked for in the vision, you have already done it. The intention is there, Abraham. You had the pure intention. Your intention was to sacrifice your own son's life if it stood in the way of God. If it blocked the way of God, you were willing to sacrifice your own son's life. Say, Abraham, now, here. Here is the strength you need. Here is the decision you need, Abraham, to make this society right. There are men that hoard up gold, men that keep the fat calf for themselves. They keep the lamb for themselves and they give the poor the cheap, inferior things. Say, Abraham, now here, you are the one that I'm going to make father of the nation. The man who has the faith in God so strong that he follows truth to his end and he follows the path of social struggle to his end, even though it asks of the thing that's most dear to him, he give it to please Almighty God. We have to believe that Abraham is the ideal image, a symbol of the leadership in the society. Prophet Muhammad, he's the last prophet. The last prophet. The most complete of all the prophets. But even Prophet Muhammad called Abraham his father. Abraham's also his father. Yes. And the order of Prophet Muhammad is the order of Abraham, the upright one. Isn't that what Allah says to us? Milla Ibrahim Hanifa. The order of Abraham, the upright one. That is the order established by Prophet Muhammad. It wasn't established by Abraham. He was just a symbol of it. A symbol of what had to come. But there had to be somebody to bring the complete revelation, to fulfill the book, and complete the ordering of society. And establish what Abraham began and what he was and still is a symbol of. Prophet Muhammad was given that mission and he did it. Now I bring this talk to a close with again the words of the Quran. God says that he created us from the clay and from a semen drop and a clot of blood, congealed blood, and a lump of flesh, the fetus lump. And he formed in the fetus lump of flesh, bone. Then he closed the bone with flesh. Thereafter he began, or he made another, a new creation. These are the words of the Quran. Now, let us look at this. Flesh comes lastly in this forming of the being in the womb of the mother. Is that right? Flesh comes last. Now, we know in Western religion, and even in many religions, East and West, flesh has become the mark of sin. Have become almost synonymous with the term sin. Flesh is sinful. Almighty God says that he formed the man and along these stages, structured his bones, then clothed his bones with flesh. Says, and then another creation. The seventh one comes, is a new creation, the seventh one. So this tells us that the sixth one is the highest of the first creation. Is that right? Yes, because it began with clay, semen drop, and all up until it comes with the bones, and then he clothes the bones with the flesh. So flesh is the highest one. What are we to understand, Muslim, from this? How is this to be understood? In many, many ways. But let's go directly to the essential message for the scriptural people. Knowledge. Knowledge. Man comes into knowledge, and knowledge is what dresses the society. Before knowledge comes, passions, blood relations, blood ties, and other things hold the society and dress the society. Primitive custom. Is that right? Yes, tradition, custom. These things hold the society. But once man gets into knowledge, he breaks out of tradition. He breaks out of custom. And he reformed tradition. He reformed custom. He might sacrifice tradition. He might sacrifice custom. Because custom changed over and over. Is that right? Yes. And when we call the people to Islam, don't we call them to leave their custom? We call them away from their traditions. We call them away from their custom. And what are we calling them with? Is it tradition calling tradition? Is it custom calling custom? It's knowledge. So we grow up, what is the highest level? Knowledge. Knowledge. It doesn't mean that it's most essential. It's most essential once it comes. But there's something even more important than that. It's nature. Human nature. If the human being is out of the human nature, the knowledge will not do you any good. Unless it can influence you to come back into your human nature. Is that right? So nature, human nature, is the faith, it's the foundation on the human form or the human vessel into which you must put the knowledge. And the knowledge enhances the value, the worth, and everything of the person. Is that right? Makes him even improve upon his human nature. But he has to have the right nature first. So look here now. The flesh is knowledge. That's what the flesh is. We're talking about flesh and religion. Man is born in sin. Flesh is sinful. The flesh is filled with lust. The knowledge is sinful when it's not right knowledge. The knowledge is filled with lust when it's not right knowledge. The people who studied so-called backward society, so-called backward primitive cultures, their findings tell us that primitive man has not had a bigger problem with lust, as big a problem with lust as knowledgeable so-called enlightened man. Knowledgeable man, so-called enlightened man, has had more problems with sex, the lust, than any other creature. The dog, as shameful as he is at times, look at his virtues. That dog has virtues that many of us have in Christianity, Judaism, and Islam don't have. Faithfulness, loyalty, and even cleanliness. Look how he hates to stay in his filth. The dog doesn't like to sleep in his filth. He'll go outside of the place he sleeps to make his filth. The place that he spend his nap and take his sleep and spend his time at night, he doesn't want filth in that place. The dog will go outside, even in your front room, and drop it, rather than drop it in that place where he has to sleep and stay. But look at some human beings, how they make the filth and let sleep in it. And they are uncomfortable out of it. They got to hurry up and get back home and put their nose in the stink. Are you going to tell me flesh is bad? Flesh is the trouble? We have to stay on alert for the terrible, troublesome flesh? No, we have to be on alert for the terrible trouble from devious minds. Flesh is the base, it's the pillar. Flesh is the foundation for structuring society. What do we mean by that? The flesh is what gives us our first leader. Your first leader is given to you by the influences of the flesh. Hunger, pain, comfort, sexual intermixing with his companions, the fruit of that intercourse. All of that is what feeds us with human sentiments, with moral concepts and compassion, concepts of compassion, of sympathy, of love. Isn't that given to us by the flesh? The flesh gives us all of that. The flesh makes me cuddle the baby. The flesh makes the baby want to cuddle, stay nice to me. The flesh makes me want to hold my wife. The flesh makes my wife want to hold me. Is that right? Yes. Yeah. The flesh put little babies together. Look how they play and how nice they are. Look how they love to be cuddled. That's the flesh. The flesh says, feed me. And when you feed, the flesh says, thank you. Is that right? The flesh says, protect me. And when you protect the flesh says, thank you. So where is the problem in the flesh? The flesh is unclean. There's a sense in the flesh called the sense of smell. And this sense in the flesh says, get this away from me. Little baby crying. You carrying your filth on you, and you stinking so bad, we smell you 2 blocks away. And you are not crying, but that little baby, nobody taught the baby to cry when the stink is on it. Stink, get on the baby cries. So how is the flesh sinful? Huh? The flesh is the beginning of the evolution of society. It's the very first base. So in Islam, we don't reject flesh. Instead of rejecting it, we make flesh the base, the foundation of structuring society. We have to first acknowledge this, that man is made of flesh, and God has made flesh good, not bad, not sinful. Allah says that he has dignified every son of Adam. Those who study the Quran, they should understand that this doesn't mean the son of Christ, or the son of Moses, or the son of Idris, or the son of Jesus Christ, or the son of Abraham. It means what it says, the son of Adam. He has dignified every son of Adam. It's not necessary for another one to come and for us to have dignified sons. No, the son of Adam is dignified. What does that mean? The man who lives in his human nature, the man who lives under the influence of his flesh, is a dignified creature. It's my mind that leads me to commit sin. The flesh is the most obedient, form we have, the flesh. You know that? Right now, I've been talking to you for an hour or so. My flesh has not interfered with my talking to you, not once. I have come up here sometimes sick. Be truthful with you. I come up here, I feel like going to bed. I feel like I shouldn't be here. I come up here and I talk to you for 4 hours, 5 hours. My flesh stops complaining. Says he wants to do something more important, so I'm not going to complain. Before I was come up here, the flesh was complaining. Please take me home. I need to be in bed. Give me some tea or some aspirin. But as soon as I got up me and start doing something for God, something more valuable than saving the flesh from a headache. Temperature, the flesh, they go on, do your thing, man. This is more important than me. Where is that backward preacher going to come from to tell me flesh is sinful? How come it's sinful? If I go look at Playboy magazine and the flesh respond to the pictures that I accept, the flesh is not going to respond until I accept it. And the flesh ain't going to jump up there and say, hey, keep your eye on Playboy. No. But if I go there and put my mind to it and pick up the book and look at those Playboy magazines and all the other magazines and get my mind on that thing, then the flesh responds to my desire. Isn't that right? The flesh responds to my desire. But some of us are still so caught up in that old teaching that we can't understand. Prophet Muhammad, the peace and the blessings be upon him, he would not stand for a human being, a living human being. I don't care how big a shot you were. If you came and Prophet Muhammad was sitting, he didn't stand up out of respect for your position. And he insisted that no one stood up for him that way out of respect for his position. When he came in, no one had to, no one said, rise, attention, rise. No, when Prophet Muhammad came in, everybody was left sitting. They didn't have to rise up. But look what this great prophet did. A deceased body, a dead body. And that's all it is, the dead body. Once the life of the human being is out of the body, it's just a dead body. Here is nothing but a dead body being carried to its destination, to its final resting place. Prophet Muhammad stood up and taught his followers to stand up when the dead body is being passed by, or being coming past your way. So don't remain sitting and doing your thing, what you were doing. When the body comes by that has ceased and is going to its destination, stand. Religious fanatic. Why don't you let us get out of this crouch? But now you sit in the crouch for 4 and 6 hours. Why? The body accepts what you put on it. Oh, the flesh is sinful. No, no, no. Christianity has misunderstood the sign of Christ. The sign of Christ was not to condemn flesh. The sign of Christ was to restore flesh back to its great place of dignity, of great social worth. That's the sign of Christ. That here is a man in a flesh body, but he's righteous. He's not bothered by greed. He's not bothered by lust. He's righteous. He has full control of his life, and yet in a flesh body. They miss the message. The message is to establish that every human being's flesh is good, not bad. Only thing you have to do is separate yourself from your earthly father and follow the guidance of your heavenly father, Almighty God. Except to be formed from the very beginning of life by God's direction and not by the world's direction. And you can accomplish those things. Your flesh makes a problem for you because it is corrupted. The germ of false knowledge comes into it. The germs of worldly leadership come into your flesh. But if you keep out the germs of worldly leadership and let only the inspiration, the ruach, the inspiration of God, inspire your development, you will not have trouble with flesh. Flesh is a completely obedient servant. It is such a great servant that even the flesh now become a symbol of salvation. Is that right? Yes, the flesh of Christ become a symbol of salvation. They have faith in Christ that man's flesh did not commit sin, and that man, because of his righteousness, was resurrected and live again. Is that right? Yes. And he said, Christ in me and Christ in you. I in you and you in me. And we all in the Father. Not as separate bodies, but all under the same Spirit. The inspiration of God has formed me and directs me. Now through me it has formed you and it directs you. And the inspiration comes from God. We're all held by the same power and force. All held by the same influence. Is that right? So if he had no father, the church has no father. You ever heard of a father of the church? Yes. The Catholic father, he's a father of the church. Right? But look. The Bible says, call no man your father. Is that right? Yes. Call no man your father. But the father, he makes himself the father of the church. And Jesus, when they were calling him a rabbi, he rejected it. Is that right? Yes. And he told his people to call no man father except he that is in heaven. But they have fathers over the church. But look at the church. Look at the church and think about it. The man that's over the church is a preacher, a reverend, a shepherd. Only in Catholicism he's a father. Is that right? Yes. He's not a father. Now look at the New Testament on Jesus himself in the church. It says that there was a wedding and a husbandman. Is that right? There was a man marrying a woman, a bride and a bridegroom. Ask them, who is the bride? They'll tell you, the bride is the church. Ask them, who is the groom? They'll tell you, the groom is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, the prophet, married the church. How can the preacher now, how can the bishop or the priest be the father of that church? Huh? Tell me, does that make sense? That Jesus, who made teachers under him, now one of the teachers become the father, and he is the husband. He's the husband marrying the girl, the bride. Right? And over the church now, over his wife is a father. Over Jesus' wife is a father. And that father is Father Peter or Father John or whatever you want to call it. How can that be? They will tell you, brother and sister, they will tell you that Jesus is the bride, the groom, and the church is his bride. They'll tell you that. And then they tell you that the priest now is the father of the church. How can he be the father of Jesus' bride? It doesn't make sense, does it? No, he cannot be the father. And if you live long enough, you're going to see the Catholic Church change even more. They're going to stop, they're going to outlaw the calling of father in the church. If you live long enough, you'll see this, inshallah. You're going to live to see the Catholic Church get rid of the title father from the church. They're quiet because it's not in line with their teaching. And everything that's not in line is going to have to be sacrificed. Yes. So in my conclusion now, I ask all of you to stop seeing flesh as sinful. This is a crippling ignorance on us that will never allow us to be healthy as a people and as a society. As long as we think that the flesh in which the human being is formed, from which we get our start, is sinful, that means that our beginning is sinful. That's too heavy a burden for human beings to carry and yet progress and aspire to human greatness. No, it's too heavy a burden. You become weird. You become spooky. You become unnatural beings because you don't want to face the naturalness that they have made sinful. You become monks, nuns, witches, angels. You become things that you're not supposed to be. God wants us to be human beings. If we want to liberate society, we should spread this teaching. That God Almighty mission Prophet Muhammad to put flesh back on its high place of respect and dignity. The black stone, what do you think is symbolic of? Wasn't the black stone a shining star? Did God build the Kaaba on the heavens, on a shining star? No, the shining stone, the stone fell, and the light went out of it. And God used the black stone that had no light as the most precious stone in the building of the Kaaba, the Holy House. Is that right? It became the cornerstone, the essential stone for building the Kaaba, the house of God, our society, world society, human society. What is the meaning of that? Man had gone up in the sky and left his flesh nature behind him and had taken on the glow of angel nature. He was up in the sky shining as an angel and left his human form down here in the dirt, neglected. And God missioned the prophet to take the black stone and put it in the place to make it the corner of the building as a sign that God does not want the monk, the priest that never touched black. You know, they even made us not touch black. Up here until recently, all the man's underclothes were white. Yeah, you know that. And your flesh wasn't supposed to touch. No black touch the flesh up here, especially around the heart. White undershirt and white drawers. To protect the black heart and the sinful loins. Right? Yeah. Gotta have the white to protect the black heart. That human being, that sinful creature with that black heart. And troublemaking loins. But Almighty God inspired Prophet Muhammad, no, take the black stone and put it in its place. As a sign that the world is going to be built all over again. And it shall begin with flesh. That flesh is a cornerstone of society. Isn't this a message that will inspire people and bring a new revolution, a new evolution for social excellence? Well, why come we don't preach it? That's what we should be preaching. And if we preach that, we will be fulfilling the sign of Christ. As Christ came not to make us nuns and monks, angels, that Christ's mission was to serve as a sign that the sin is not in the flesh. The sin is in the intention. What do you intend? Your nature is good. God has made you of excellent nature. But what is your intention, man? You can be spotless physically, but if your intention is bad, you're filthy. Is that right? Yes. So in the language of the gospel, it says, it is not what goes into the man, but what comes out of his heart. Is that right? It is what the thoughts that rise up in the human heart. And that makes some stupid people that don't understand the mystery of Christ. It makes them think that the heart is sinful. No, the heart is not sinful. The heart is good. But if you allow sin to form in your heart, then the best part of you have become corrupt. That part that was meant for your salvation has now become the very instrument of your damnation. Is that right? Why? If I let corruption come in the best part of me, I'm inviting death. Yes. So Jesus was not saying that the heart is bad. Jesus the Christ or the gospel is saying to us, the spot to watch is the most precious spot. Don't worry about the places of less importance. Don't be so concerned about what the hand is doing, what the tongue is saying. There's something more precious, more vital to the human being's life than even his hand, than even his tongue. It's his intentions. And his intentions are influenced by his heart. The heart is a symbol of man's desire. Can we have a life without desire? Can society grow without desire? Shouldn't we have desire first in order to get something started? Where there's no desire, isn't there death? Find me a people with no desire. There's a dead people. So the very foundation, the very place for us to begin building society is the heart, the flesh. The heart is a symbol of the flesh, is the heart. And the heart is the symbolic of desire. We love creatures, and we think of the heart being that organ that's sending that love out. Is that right? The source of that. And we have other desires. So the ancient people saw the heart as a symbolic of the seat of desire. The seat of desire. The source of the desire. God does not reject the human heart. God accepts the human heart. And God does not say the human heart is sinful. God says the human heart is good. How can we build society saying the human heart is bad? If we get started, we have to start with the human heart. I don't care how great your knowledge is or how great my ability is to reach you with my knowledge. If your heart is bad, we won't get anywhere. Now you see our mistake. Can't you see our mistake? We have called flesh sinful, and really what they meant was that the heart was sinful. They say the human being is a creature with a black sinful heart. God said, no, no. Good gracious, no. This is a terrible lie, an outrage. Prophet Muhammad, tell my creatures that I have made them in the best of molds, that I have made their shapes and their form most excellent, that I have given them their features and I have made them handsome, beautiful. Here is God trying to wash out that old stuff you've just been putting into your mind through his prophet, telling you that he has made your form and have made them most beautiful, that he has made your nature in the best of molds, and that matters are judged by intention. This is the rule in Islam. He didn't say matters are judged by the degree of logic you are able to exercise. He didn't say matters are judged by your moral excellence. There are some people who live on high standards of moral excellence. But when you search into their, into the core,